One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready, get ready.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good morning, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this NTEB House Church Sunday service. My name is Pastor Jeffrey Greider, and we're very glad that you have chosen to worship with us today. Have you ever stopped to think about how much a basketball, football, or golf club is worth in your hands? Less than $100, and that's probably on a good day. But if you put those same things into the hands of Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, and Tiger Woods, they're suddenly worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Whose hands you put something in makes a huge difference. Think about holding a couple of nails. How valuable would they be in your hands? But put those nails into the hands of Jesus Christ to shed his blood, and that provides salvation. Christian, whose hands have you put your hopes, your dreams, and yes, even your troubles into? Your hands or his hands? Psalm 92, verse 4, "For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands." Psalm 92 is a short but mighty psalm, and it's an excellent illustration of the importance of putting yourself into the right hands. First and foremost, your hands cannot solve your problems, and indeed are likely the cause of them. All week long at the bookstore, we've been having our annual Dependence Day sale on books and stuff and accessories, but the title of that sale is much more than a mere play on words. It shows that we as blood-bought Christians are truly dependent on Jesus Christ for every breath we take, every morsel of food we eat, and even every beat of our heart. We live in a world where every day we read about taking control and seizing the day and working like a boss, when the exact opposite is true. Arrested on the road to Damascus, the alpha male Saul came face to face with the Lord, with the risen Lord Jesus, and very wisely put it all into his hands. Do you desire to flourish? Well, you need the right place to be planted. On this Sunday service, we open our King James Bibles and we go looking for a touch of the Master's hands. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy, and yes, for waking us up today, and for the food we had, for the clothes we wear, for the roof that's over our head. We're glad and we're grateful, Father God, and we don't take it for granted and we don't take it lightly that for many, many years now, you have given us a place to congregate as a church family and lift each other up in prayer and to worship your name and to open your book and to preach and teach your preserved word. And Father God, we just want to remind you how glad and grateful that we are that you allow us to do that. We get to have church. We get to study your word. And that really is the proper way to look at it. Everything that you give us, Father God, is truly a blessing, and we're glad and we thank you for that. And we ask you, Father God, to meet with us here now, and that your Holy Spirit would go forth among us and lead us into all truth. Give us a sweet spirit into the chat room. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome everybody. Glad that you are here today. Hope you've been having a good week, and I hope that the Lord has been doing great things in your life. When we get to the message part today, we're really just going to stick mostly in Psalm 92. It's a short psalm. It's only 15 verses long, but there is so much in there that we really need to be paying attention to. It talks about flourishing after being planted in the proper place. And verse 4, which is my text for today, "For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands." And you know, when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the Apostle Paul says this in verse 55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" I don't know if this is true in your life or not, but lately I have known so many people who are sick, sick, as Paul would say, nigh unto death, and many of them have died, and many of them are in the process of dying right now. And when you read a verse like verse 55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" It's kind of hard to grab a hold of that when you're watching loved ones getting sick and weak and dying. And it looks like that death gets the victory, but it doesn't. Verse 56 says, "The sting of death is sin." Things die because sin came into the world. Before sin came into the world, nothing died. And Paul says, "And the strength of sin is the law." Not that the law causes you to sin, but the law takes away all your excuses and shows you what a sinner that you are. But Paul says this in verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you think the Apostle Peter was feeling like he was having the victory when they were putting him up on the cross and the historical record says he was crucified upside down? Do you think that the Apostle Paul felt victorious when he was being marched to have his head cut off? Do you think James and all the other apostles that were put to death, every single one of the apostles were executed with the exception of the Apostle John, but he was highly persecuted, he was banished, he was put out on an island by himself, and none of them had a smooth ride, none of them had an easy ride. But when you read the Bible, God is talking, he's playing the long game, he's not playing the short game. And when Paul says in verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ," he's talking about the long game. You have the victory by faith now, but then you have victory in the flesh later. Somebody once said, before you can have the crown, you have to have the cross, and the cross is no fun. Jesus says, "If any man will come after me, let him pick up his cross daily." All through the New Testament, it talks about dying to self. And your biggest enemy is the person who looks back at you in the mirror. And we're going to be talking today about the master's hands, the hand of God. And when we begin to realize that we, whether you like it or not, you're in his hand. But the ride goes a whole lot smoother when you submit to that and you say, "Okay, if I am truly in the hand of the Lord, then I'm going to let him fight my battles. And if I'm going to be thanking him for the roof over my head, then I'm going to allow him to provide the place that I live. And if I'm going to thank him every time that I put food in my mouth, I'm going to allow him to provide that food." And The longer that you walk with the Lord and the longer that you live, you begin to realize that what John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. And that is where the Christian victory comes from. Many years ago, maybe you can relate to this, maybe you can't, but I used to be the type of driver where I would be, I wouldn't say highly reactive, I would say moderately reactive. And somebody would cut me off and I would have a gesture towards that person. And over time, God began to convict me of that. And you begin to realize the longer that you walk with the Lord, Exodus 14:14 says, "And ye shall hold your peace, and the Lord shall fight for you." And when you're saved and you're under the authority of Jesus Christ, you need to let everything be taken out of your hands and put into his hands and allow him to work it out. And when you read the book of Acts, it gets a little crazy in the book of Acts, and the apostle Paul, and he's blinded and he gets most of his sight back, and he talks about what's that passage where he spent a day and a night in the deeps, and he was shipwrecked, and all these different things that happened to the Apostle Paul. And he really had a crazy roller coaster ride of an existence after he got saved. There it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, verse 25, "Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Now, these are things that the Apostle Paul went through on a daily basis, on the outside. On the inside, he's also called to set up the first century church in the church age. And you talk about having a full schedule. You talk about being pulled in multiple directions at the same time. You know, whenever I think that I have a really busy schedule, and my schedule is pretty busy, but I read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I can't even begin to imagine what life must have been like for the Apostle Paul on a daily basis. So if you're just tuning in, today we are talking about flourishing because you've been planted in the house of the Lord and triumphing in the works of his hands, not your hands. Very, very glad that you are here with us today. Welcome to church.
It's time for us to face the fact that for decades we've ruined our name. Just look around us. It's easy to see that we share the blame. It's on you and me. So blinded by
imperfect. We're battered, bruised, and flawed. Each of us are hurting, but we have all been called to carry the message to this human race. Our message is love. Our anthem is grace. It's time we remembered who we are.
This is the church. I am a part. Its doors are open. Come as you are. We know no boundaries. There are no stars. If you are broken, come see God's heart. If you
the end of a rope, on drugs, and in jail. Bibles Behind Bars was already there waiting for her to trust the Lord, get saved, and receive a King James Bible. The Sebastian County Adult Detention Center is one of the many jails and prison facilities across the country that the NTEB Bibles Behind Bars program partners with. We supply the chaplains and their assistants with King James Bibles, New Testaments, and John and Roman scripture portion booklets at absolutely no cost to them. In fact, we just processed an order for 1,000 of these precious booklets the other day for Chaplain Todd. He wrote to me and told me about an amazing thing that happened at his jail 2 weeks ago. Chaplain Todd writes, "Recently we had a young lady in her 20s whose parents were both killed in an auto accident in our facility. From her hurt and grief, she went into a life of drugs and bad decisions. God, in his mercy, spared her life. She was off of drugs for 2 days, just long enough to clear her mind, and we reached her with the gospel when she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. She is doing well and super excited about her salvation and the hope that Christ has brought into her life." This is what Chaplain Todd wrote and told me the other day. "And because of our Bibles Behind Bars program, a brand new King James Bible was already there, ready and waiting to be handed to her on day one of her new life as a believer in Jesus Christ." So, Christian, I just want to take a moment to show you something that I think might really excite you. Right now, in jails and prisons and immigration detention centers across America, thousands of boxes of King James Bibles, New Testaments, and Scripture portions are sitting there in storage rooms. And every day, those supplies are accessed by men and women ministering the gospel to lost and broken people who arrive daily at their facilities. Now, what do you get for your donation? Well, you get to have a part in being the reason that some lost soul receives the preserved Word of God at exactly the moment that they need it the most. And I love hearing stories like the one about the young lady who got saved 2 weeks ago, and she was handed a brand new, beautiful King James Bible, Genesis to Revelation, because you pray for this program and you pray for this ministry and you pray for Bibles Behind Bars and you donate so that we can cover the shipping, we can buy the Bibles, we can send them out. And it is just such a blessing to see the fruit that is starting to come out. We've had the Bibles Behind Bars program since, I think it's just about the 1 year anniversary coming up. I'm going to have to look that up. It was either the end of July or the beginning of August. I can't remember exactly, but I tend to think it was like the second week of July. I'll look it up and find the exact date, but here we are, 1 year into our Bibles Behind Bars program, and we have sent out tens of thousands of King James Bibles, New Testaments, and Scripture portions to so many jails and prisons and homeless shelters and hospitals and immigration detention facilities. And I am just so excited to see God working in our lives that way and working in the lives of the people who receive these things. So please pray for our free Bible program, our Bibles Behind Bars program, and pray that we will continue to have much fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ.
As my soul left my body, that was made.
Mansion that won't grow old, and I cried,
I've made it.
Now my earthly life is over. I have made the narrow way, and the crown of life I'm wearing down the streets of gold today. I'm now touring that holy city, shouting down an endless road, and I cried, I've made it! Thank God I made it! My feet have touched the streets of gold. Streets of gold, I now am walking, just past by the tree of life. Took a drink of living water, flowing down from God on high. I now see the hallelujah square and the mansion that won't grow old, and I cried, I've made it! Thank God I've made it! My feet have touched the streets of gold. Streets of gold, I now am walking, just passed by the tree of life. Took a drink of living water, flowing down from God on high. I now see the hallelujah square and the mansion that won't grow old, and I cry, I've made it! Thank God I've made it! My feet have touched the streets of gold, and I cry, I've made it! Thank God I've made it! My feet have touched the streets of gold.
And he made
Amen, amen. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, please post it into the chat room, and we'll be very, very happy to lift it up before the Lord today. And we do have a lot of fresh prayer requests already. Our list is longer than ever. And if you are on that list, if you were on that list and you have an update from a previous prayer request, just reach out to us. You can send an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com and let us know what the update is, because people really do pray for all these requests, and people really do rejoice in your praise reports and give thanks to the Lord. So if you have an update for us, please let us know about that. Today we are praying salvation for Haley's aunt and family. Carol from Georgia would like to see her sisters, cousins, and Aunt Joey get saved. The Breida family up in Canada for salvation. Stacy Bunton in Texas is praying for her husband's salvation. Rachel Adams is praying for Kim, Jesse, Angelina, Carrie, Mikey, Alyssa, and Stan. Ashley needs to get saved and to overcome addiction. Mark is praying for his sons, Michael and Matthew, Mason, and daughter Michaela. Mitch is praying for his daughters, Rachel, Hannah, and their husbands. We are also lifting up the postal workers and the UPS and FedEx drivers that come to the bookstore on a regular basis. This is one reason why, if you've ever been to the bookstore, you see John 3:16 in huge letters behind the front counter. So even if they won't take a gospel track, they get witnessed to from the moment that they walk through the door. But please pray for all the people, the water company that brings the deliveries, and just pray for everybody who services the bookstore, that we would have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. And Jericho would like salvation prayers for family members, people who need a healing today. Annetta, she's a little discouraged. She had a stroke last May, back in 2022, and she has had a really good recovery except for her left arm and her left leg. So please pray that she would get full mobility back. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease, and we're praying for him and his wife Lisa. Clayton Perry, he's on hospice, and please pray for him and for his wife, Kathy. And it has been an absolute wild ride for the past 2 years, but it looks like, unless the Lord steps in and does something, that Clayton will be going home to the Lord sooner rather than later. So please keep the Perry family in your prayers. Aaron Riddle's sister Tracy has breast cancer. Shira Shine's pastor Pete Dellis is battling cancer and needs prayer. Jill Puckett, she says that she's losing her vision, and we're praying for her. Paul Caulfield has type 1 sugar diabetes. Patricia Augustin, her husband Ron has cancer. Sharon Hansen needs prayer for a healing. She has periods of confusion. Gary's friend Carrick has MS. Dina Kruger just celebrated her 1-year wedding anniversary with her husband Brent, and we rejoice with that. If you remember, I officiated that ceremony last year, and what a blessing that was. Her friend Katrina has brain issues, so please pray for Katrina, who's having ongoing chemo and radiation. She has a husband and a little daughter. Also, Dina's son Jordan needs to get saved, and her mom Marcy has been undergoing radiation for colon cancer. We are praying for Brooke Kettlecamp, who is on the autism spectrum below the middle. And Cindy, her mom, is very grateful that we continue to pray for her. Krista, she's battling a massive tumor in her chest wrapped around 5 of her ribs. And she says that the chemotherapy is really wearing her out. Dan Kane, his wife Roxy, has MS. And please pray for his son, Jonathan, as well. Kelly Hollowell continues to heal after having a shattered arm 8 weeks ago. And she's a little bit discouraged with her healing time. But praise the Lord, she gets just a little bit better every day. Marianne Ellie, she says, please pray for my kids, John, Anne Marie, and Christine to get saved, and my grandkids, Sophia, Jacob, David, and Katrina. Tracy and Ralph Wallace, pray for my son-in-law, Ethan, my daughter, Shanna, and my grandson, Caden, to get saved. Harmon's son, Michael, has colon cancer. We're praying for him. Beth Peck, she wants prayer for her husband, David, for salvation, as well as her children, Heather and Damien. Rob has a friend named Mike who has MS, and he is struggling. Rob says, please keep him on the list. My friend Ethan has been diagnosed with liver cancer, and we're praying for him. Hopefully, I'll get the chance to go see him one day this week. Keep that in prayer, too. Kathy Nath says that she is hospitalized with melanoma of liver and lungs. Jeanette says, day 21, what prayers can make a difference? Paul has opened his eyes. So her friend Paul is in the hospital, and he is starting to get a little bit better. So keep Paul in your prayers, as well as Jeanette's nephew, Matthew, who is an atheist with mental issues. Please keep baby Beckham in your prayers. He's a little bit past 7 pounds, and he continues to get just a little bit better each day and should be going home at the end of this month. Rachel K., please pray for Ali. He is not saved and has colon cancer. Lulu Morrison says that she's going to have oral surgery on the 18th, and we are praying for that it would go well. Baby Layton was released from the hospital and is with grandparents. Please pray for the adult children to get saved, and there is hard drug use and all sorts of medical and legal issues involved there, but the Lord knows the need, and we are lifting up the entire Price family. Meyer Lynn Sue Meg Anparting, please pray for my daughter Debbie Ruth, who is in a deep coma. Mike Crabb, we're praying for his heart that he would have a complete healing. Travis Karulik, his wife Ida has cancer, and we are praying for her that the Lord would give her a touch and that he would just take care of the entire Karulik family. Travis is a traveling evangelist. Ricky Gouda has, she has problems with her eyesight, and she wants the Lord to give her something to do that will make it through the judgment seat. Amen. Keith Grimm is asking prayer for his aunt Arvilla. She is a NTEB listener with emphysema. She is not a smoker. Also, please pray for his sister Sherry, who is in a home and has dementia. Mike Hensel is going to have knee surgery in 5 days from today on the 14th. And we are lifting up our brother that everything would go smoothly. Gail, not the Gail at the bookstore, but Gail says that she has numerous back issues that need to be addressed. A spinal fusion is being recommended, but she wants the Lord to have the final say in that. And so many of these prayer requests go hand in hand with my message today. Michael is precancerous, and we are lifting him up in prayer. Mark Seals has numerous health issues, and a couple of them are pretty tough, and we are lifting up Mark Seals that the Lord would give him a touch in multiple areas. Roz says, please pray for my asthma and scoliosis. Thank you so much, and salvation prayers for my family. Debbie Mathias says that her mother-in-law, her arm is better, but now she has another crush wound that surfaced and is being treated, starting to show dementia. So I'm assuming that Debbie is married to Bobby, and this is Bobby Mathias's mom that we are praying for. Ladies who are expecting, We spent a great afternoon with my daughter Kelsey yesterday, and she is expecting with a July 22nd due date, but please pray that baby Mia does not come out before the 18th. And she needs baby Mia to not come out before the 18th to qualify for health benefits at her job. And also my daughter, Megan Burton, is expecting, and everything is going nicely there. Aaron Riddle, Linda and Joe LaPiana's son and daughter-in-law, April's niece Shelby, Terry Bryant's daughter Jillian, Heather's daughter is pregnant and unsaved, Shira Shine's daughter-in-law, Steve and Cindy Britt's granddaughter, Sandra C's daughter Christina, and Brenda Clark says that our three daughters, Brianna, Christina, and Stephanie, are all pregnant. So we continue to have a full roster of ladies who are expecting. And please pray for the doctors, the nurses, the babies, the moms, the dads, and the trip to the hospital. Mark Saxa, please pray for my son Joseph to return to the Lord. Aunt Nancy, she's praying that Brandon and Michelle would get saved. Leslie needs prayer that the Lord will order and reorder a financial situation. Palmetto State Guy says, please pray for my mom, Eunice, and my dad, Paul, for health issues. Joni wants to see Ashley, Clint, Ember, Knox, Lucas, Brian, Mary, and Dee get saved. My son, Calvin, I had a great conversation with him this morning. And please pray that God continues to do a work in Calvin's life. Brenda, please pray for my husband, Mike, who is saved. He's an alcoholic. And many people that I speak to that listen to these podcasts, broadcasts, Sunday services, I know a lot of people who are they're saved and they love the Lord, but they are struggling with alcohol. And if that's you, keep struggling. But don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. The worst thing that you can do if you're an alcoholic, whether you admit it or not, but the worst thing that you can do is to isolate yourself. The last place that you want to be is alone with your thoughts. The Bible says this in Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So if you're saved and you love the Lord, that's great. If you struggle with alcohol, tell somebody. You can tell me. You can send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com. You can book an appointment time. I'll get on the phone with you, and I'll be very, very happy to talk to you about victory over alcohol. That's something that I am very intimately acquainted with. So Brenda says, please pray for my husband, Mike, an alcoholic who is saved to get off the bottle. Keith Grimm is currently employed with the sheriff's office, and he starts the academy in 3 days on July 12th. Please pray that God will help me through. Kyle and Reagan Gorzel, update on baby Titus. We are starting to see some improvement with this rash that he has throughout his entire body. So please lift up baby Titus in your prayers. People with unspoken prayer requests. The LaPiana family, Jeanette Marie C., Adrian P. Breda, Chris Hart, Kate, John Bayor, Dr. Shirley, Jericho, Henry Biggs, Debbie, her children, her grandchildren, Dana Bragdon, Rachel Adams, Julius, Dave Evans, Kenny B., Debbie Mathias, Rachel Elizabeth, Ricky Gouda, has unspokens for daughter Norcha, son Martine, and brother Paul. Blaine, he was excited this morning in the chat room. He had 6 unspoken prayer requests, and he said that the Lord answered 2 of them almost immediately. And so he has 4 unspoken prayer requests. Jennifer and Char has an unspoken prayer request for her husband. And let's go to this morning. Here we are. Herb says, we are praising God today for continued healing of my dad's wound and a good report from the wound surgeon on Friday. We are continuing to ask God for his healing of Sandra's stage 4 nasopharyngeal cancer and for guidance. That's cancer of the nose and the sinuses, and for guidance to her doctors and comfort throughout the aggressive radiation treatments. He says, there is a big billboard that I see on my way to visit my dad in the nursing home that says God can do anything. And the Bible says, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jeanette says, praise report. Both of my new weekend caregivers are committed and working out well for me. Amen. Nightwatch Autist up in Canada. I can't stay right now. Tom and I believe the Lord wants us to go downtown to street preach and street worship. Please pray for us. Amen. Rachel K., my friend Ali, who was on the prayer list, is going home to Turkey. He has colon cancer and is not doing well. My husband has been trying to be a witness to him. He told him that we were praying for him. Ali told my husband that him and his family are praying for us. Ali is a Muslim, so he is not praying to our God. Well, he's not praying to any God at all. But we will continue to keep Ali on the prayer list for a healing and for salvation. Let's see. Herb says Sandra's treatment plan is not going well. The cancer is inoperable, back of nasal and down the side of the neck rear carotid artery. So just please continue to pray for Sandra to have a healing and that God would give her comfort. Jill says, update, getting a divorce. Please continue to pray for my two kids' salvation, Junie and Grant. And we will be very happy to keep Jill on the prayer list as she goes through this very difficult time. And we will continue to pray for her husband to get saved. Berta Crabb says, please pray that my Camp Lejeune lawsuit comes to fruition quickly in a favorable measure. Rob says, prayer request for Karen out of the hospital and home, but needs a touch from the Lord. Peggy Caulfield, pray for the salvation of a young lady named Manuela, please. Absolutely. Teresa, please pray for my 3 sons' salvation and also an unspoken prayer for me. Shannon Krupp says, prayers for Trisha. She is working a lot of overtime this weekend. God knows her needs. And keep Trisha in your prayers, that God would continue to give her a witness where she works at the police station in Milton, Florida, and that God would give her some fruit for the Lord. And Shannon said also, please pray for wisdom for me leading Now the End Begins Ministries. Amen. Amen. And Roz says, scoliosis, just so you know how much she is suffering. And I'm going to put a picture of this, I think, into the chat room. And I think this is her daughter. Somebody can feel free to correct me if I have the person wrong. But we have been praying for the scoliosis of this young lady. And as you can see, the spine is badly distorted. And sometimes people will send pictures of what we're praying for. And it always helps to put faces and images to the prayer requests that we have. So Heavenly Father, Jeanette says, this is Roz. Okay, so when Roz is asking for prayer requests on her scoliosis, that's what her scoliosis looks like. And we will just continue to lift her up before the Lord. So Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we ask you to work and move and heal. Father God, there are people literally lying in beds right now, dying. And Lord, you can intervene or you can take them home. Whatever, Lord, your will is, We just ask you, Father God, to keep your hand on everything. And Father God, for everybody who needs a healing, please work and move. Everybody who needs restoration and reconciliation, people who need living situations worked out and financial situations worked out, and people who need to have jobs and switch jobs, and whatever the case is, Lord. We ask you to hear all of these prayer requests and receive these praise reports. And, Lord, that it all be done for your glory and for our good. And we ask all these things, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, one more song. And today we will be getting into the message. And our message today is, I will triumph in the works of thy hands, O Lord, and we'll be right back after this.
The preacher got up and said, stand to your feet. We'll start with a prayer. If you have a need, let it be heard, saints, let it be known. We're all family, and you're not alone. But that's when he saw her in the back of the church. Her silence and sadness cried out the hurt. The kind shepherd knew just what to say. I need to know before we pray. An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life?
Just lift up your hand to the one who can give you. Child, have no fear, our God can hear an unspoken request. Well, the preacher whispered as she raised her hand, sweet Holy Spirit, come by her and stand. When her tears started flowing, he had no doubt that in the throne room of heaven, her secret was out. An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life?
Just lift up your hand
to the one who can give you rest.
Child, have no fear,
our God can hear
an unspoken request. Child, have no fear,
our God can hear
an unspoken request.
Amen, amen. Our God can hear an unspoken request. And also, too, remember Dan. Rita is praying for Dan to get saved. And pray for Dan, that we've been praying for Dan for quite a while. And just pray that Dan would get saved and he would come to the Lord. All right, open your Bibles, please, to Psalms chapter 92. And while you're turning to Psalms chapter 92, please keep in mind that we will have Sunday night Bible study, Lord willing, tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're going to be doing part two of the Jews, Israel, and the start of biblical Christianity. So we are having Sunday night Bible study once again. And please pray for me Please pray for me that my voice will hold up. I'm not coughing anymore, but sometimes it gets really scratchy. And as long as my voice holds out, I'm very, very happy to do it. Secondly, today is the last day of our week-long Dependence Day sale at the bookstore. And at midnight tonight, the sale's going to go bye-bye. So if you have been waiting for the right time to get a brand new Ruckman Reference Bible, lambskin or calfskin, or a copy of Dispensational Truth, or any one of the 173 different items that we have on sale, go to BibleBeliever.com and check it out and take advantage of these sales. This will probably be our last bookstore sale until wintertime. So if you've been waiting for a time to save, you can save, I don't know how much it is, but it's like $27 on the price of a leather Ruckman Reference Bible. That's great savings. So go to BibleBeliever.com up until midnight tonight, and then the sale's going to be all over with, and we just hope that you will take advantage of that. So Psalm 92 in your Bibles. My text for today, verse 4, "For thou, O Lord, hath made me glad. Through thy work I will triumph in the works of thy hands." You know, when I first got saved, I eventually found a church. I didn't get saved in a church. I didn't have a Christian leading me to the Lord. I didn't read a billboard or anything of that nature. God just put a King James Bible in my hand from a free Bible program, and he put on my heart to open it up to John 3:16, and I got saved. But then shortly after that, God led me to a little, tiny little white Baptist church. And the pastor there, who recently has passed away, he's gone home to be with the Lord. And he introduced me to this poem, very famous poem, and a lot of people have used it in sermon illustrations. It's called "The Touch of the Master's Hand," and it goes like this. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two? $2, who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no!" From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, who'll make it two? $2,000, who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going, gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We don't quite understand. What change it's worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune, and battered and scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once and going twice. He is going almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Psalm 92, verse 1. "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, O Lord, hast made me glad. Through thy work I will triumph in the work of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now, that poem that I read to you earlier, that is a very, very good illustration of my text today, Psalm 92, verse 4. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad. Through thy work I will triumph in the work of thy hands. Too many times in life we don't triumph and we don't have the victory. And why is that? Because we have taken back the reins. We have taken back control. And life goes easy, or it goes smoothly for a short period of time. And then that's when we forget that everything that we do is bound up in the Lord. And here we have the psalmist. It doesn't say who it is, but it's probably King David. He wrote most of the Psalms. And right before the psalm starts, up in the brackets, it says a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. Now, when you look at institutional Christianity in 2023, it's really largely, mostly the Laodicean church. And it's really largely and mostly people checking off the checkbox. What do I have to do this weekend? Oh, I got to get up, got to go to church. Then I got to go to Home Depot and I got to get the new shingles for the roof. And then I'm going to try to do a little bit of bass fishing later on. And you see how we have a little bit of a compartment for the Lord, and he gets a piece of our Sunday. And maybe if God is really lucky, he'll get a piece of our Wednesday night. But when you read the Bible and you start and you go through not just a random verse, but when you go through entire chapters and entire books, you begin to get the idea that when God led the Jewish people out of slavery in Egypt, he wanted all of their attention. He didn't want a piece of it. He didn't want one day. Yes, they had the Sabbath day, which was instituted by God through Moses. But that's not what God's original intention was. When you read the book of Genesis, and we see Adam walking with the Lord in the garden in the cool of the evening, and he had fellowship with the Lord. That's what God desires to have with us. Just like in a real relationship. What is a real relationship all about? It's about fellowship. And that's why in 1 John, just turn to 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the context of 1 John chapter 1 is not salvation. When we sin, we lose that fellowship, that intimacy with the Lord. And how do I know that this is about fellowship and not about salvation? Look at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, the Apostle Paul says that we are to pray without ceasing. And that was one of those things when I first got saved that I didn't understand that verse, and nobody could explain it to me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, take a look at that verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's from the Apostle Paul. That's doctrine for the church age. And when I first got saved, I wouldn't get to a Bible-believing church for almost 3 years after I got saved. And if you're not in a Bible-believing church and you turn to the deacon or the Sunday school teacher or the pastor and you ask him to expound, what does that mean, pray without ceasing, you get all sorts of answers that have nothing to do with what Paul was actually talking about. Paul is talking about including the Lord in everything, large and small. We have a tendency that we only really pray when life is getting tough, or our back is up against the wall, or we can't make the loan payment, or the child is sick, or the marriage is going through trouble. That's when we remember that we have an advocate with the Father. But when Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that we are to pray without ceasing, now, obviously, you can't be on your knees in prayer 24 hours per day. Monks have tried that, and it doesn't work. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that to pray without ceasing is to have constant communication with God. If something goes great, what's your first reaction? Do you say, hey, Lord, look at that. Thank you. Is that your first reaction? The next time that you go out to a restaurant, why don't you just mentally make a note of how many people around you, when the food is being served, don't give thanks for that food? And if you make a little bit of a mental list, you'll see that the vast majority of people do not give thanks to anybody for that food, except maybe to the food server. They say, hey, thanks for bringing me the food. But that food is not arriving on your table because you have a job that allows you to pay for that food. That food is not arriving on your table because farmers grew it, or butchers cut it up, or chefs prepared it, or food servers brought it out to you. That food arrives at your table because God is good, and God gives good gifts to his children. That's why there's food on your table. Acts 12:5 says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Romans 1:9 says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now turn back to Psalm 92. What is the psalmist saying? Look at verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Do you know why social media exists? To distract you, to keep you from God. One of the reasons why God raised up Now the End Begins was to give you the news that they use to distract you with, and to remind you of these things that are taking place in the daily headlines and the connection that they have to Bible prophecy and to God and to your daily life as a Christian. But if you just spent like a half hour on Twitter or TikTok or YouTube. The whole point of these things, now the Bible says that it is Satan who is the prince of the power of the air. And I'm sure it's just a wild coincidence that the bulk of internet connections happen over the air. They happened on Wi-Fi. I'm sure that's just a crazy coincidence. But that's what life is like in 2023. And the psalmist, he is saying, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name, O Most High. Now, how often should you give thanks unto the Lord? Every time you receive something. Now, we don't live in a day and age where parents do this. But when I was a kid, when I was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and my grandmother or grandfather gave me a birthday card with a $10 bill or a $20 bill, or somebody gave me a present, I can recall my mom sitting me down minutes after receiving this present and putting a pen and a piece of paper in front of me, saying, okay, now write out the thank you note that we're going to mail to grandma. And I never understood as a child why I had to do that at that moment. Well, what was my mom showing me? She was showing me to be grateful for what I receive. What does the Bible show you? To be grateful for the things that you receive. Verse 2 says, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. The Bible says that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And God is merciful and God is faithful. And even when Adam and Eve sinned and Eve took the advice of the devil over the word of God, God, before he kicked them out of the garden, he still gave them coats of skin. Now, yes, that's a picture of Jesus Christ being sacrificed for sin, and that's the first sin, and we get that. But why wouldn't God just start over? Because God is long-suffering, God is loving, and God is faithful. Verse 4 of Psalm 92 says, for thou, Lord, has made me glad through thy work. It's about his work. It's not about your work. I have a friend of mine who died a couple of years ago, and he was very, very successful. He had a lot of investments. He had a lot of money in the bank. He lived in a big house. He liked to drive boats. And if you were to look at this person's life, you would think that that person was a highly successful person and he had prospered through the work of his hands. And then the day came where inexplicably he died. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the rest of today holds. And that's why the psalmist is saying, for thou, Lord, has made me glad through thy work, and I will triumph in the work of thy hands. The Bible says having food and raiment. If you got clothes, if you have food, if you have a roof over your head, you should be glad with that. You're way ahead of the curve. Verse 5 says, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. Do you know why, when an unsaved soul dies and goes to hell, do you know why they never get let out? Because they have sinned against God, and God never dies. So how often, for how long do you have to pay for that sin against an eternal God? Well, you have to pay for that sin for eternity, because God never dies. But on the flip side of that coin, for people who are saved, verse 8 says, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. And all through the writings of the Apostle Paul, turn to Romans chapter 8. All through the writings of the Apostle Paul, we see encouragement and promises of God's provision and giving us that victory. Look in Romans 8. Let's read verse 34. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And Paul says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now turn to Matthew 12. I want to give you one more verse, and then I want to give you my message for today. Matthew chapter 12. And let's read verses 18 through 21. Matthew 12, 18 through 21. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. There's only one place that you're going to have any type of victory that matters, and that is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Matthew 12:20, he says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. Well, now, what is that a picture of? That is a picture of people who are at the end of their rope, and they are simply holding on. Holding on, waiting for what? Well, waiting to drop that rope from their hands and to put that rope into the Lord's hands. That's where the victory is. That poem that I gave you earlier is called A Touch of the Master's Hand. And it talks about a battered, old, seemingly worthless violin. And nobody wants it because it doesn't look like it can do anything. But then the master picks it up, and the master is able to make beautiful music out of what would sell at a thrift store for less than $5. And the thing that makes the difference in your daily life, and I'm not talking to lost people now. If you're lost, you need to get saved. If you're lost, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what position you hold in life. It doesn't matter if your spouse loves you, your kids love you, you have a great house, you have a great dog, you have a car, a boat, a plane. None of those things matter, because when you die and you go to hell. So if you're not saved, you need to get saved. But if you are saved and you're not finding that you're getting the victory, a possible reason for why you're not getting the victory is you are not counting on the work of the Lord. How often do you spend time with God? How highly do you esteem his word? How often do you open up that book? You know, I got convicted by something about a year or two ago And I do a lot of research for the podcast, and I have to read a lot of news, and I have to watch a lot of video clips on YouTube. And I found that I was spending more time doing that than I was actually spending reading the Word of God. Now, maybe you've been saved for 6 weeks. Maybe you've been saved for 60 years. How much time do you spend opening that book? How much time do you spend allowing the Word of God to wash over you? Because if you're not doing that, is the source of your power. Now, Jesus Christ, he's the advocate that we have, and we are, if you're saved, you are part of the body of Christ, absolutely. But why did God write a book? Why did he put the words down on paper? Because there is something about that book there that is unlike any other book. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Paul says that the Word of God is alive and it is powerful. And the greatest source of strength and power that you will find anywhere in your Christian life does not come through fellowship with other believers. It does not come through prayer. It comes from opening that book. Think about it. God could have given his revelation in any period of time. He could have very easily raised up computers and compact discs 5,000 years ago. But he didn't do it. He gave his revelation first through speaking it, and then the book of Hebrews says that holy men of old spoke as the Lord spoke through them, and then they wrote it down, and that is the revelation that God wants us to have. And in Psalm 92, verse 4, "For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands." We have this pillow that we sell at the bookstore called Give It to God and Go to Sleep. And it's a beautiful little pillow. It's kind of stitched, embroidered on the front of the pillow. And every time that somebody sees that pillow for the first time, they look at it, and then this smile comes across their face. Give it to God and go to sleep. It really couldn't be much more simple than that. But how simple is it in Psalm 92, verse 4? "For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands." When's the last time that you were made glad through work that God did? When was the last time that you had triumph because you put your cares, your hopes, your dreams, your worries into the hands of the Almighty God? That's what we are called to do. And the Bible says that when we do that, verse 10, "But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." You know what the Bible gives you? The Bible gives you fresh oil on a daily basis. When I first started driving back in, 1978, they recommended that you had to change your oil every 3,000 miles, and then it went to 5,000 miles. On my Jeep, I think it's every 8,000 or 10,000 miles that they recommend that you change your oil. The technology has gotten better, and you can go a lot longer between oil changes, but you can't go without an oil change. And verse 10 of Psalm 92 says that "my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." And that's what happens when you open up the book and you spend time in the book. one of the strange phenomenons that I've long noticed is that I'll pray about something and God will answer that prayer while I'm reading in some obscure passage of the Bible, days, weeks, months after I prayed. And then when God answers, he answers in some seemingly unconnected part of the Bible. Because that book from cover to cover is a living book. On our Bible study tonight, part two of the Jews, Israel, and the biblical start of Christianity, I'm going to be talking about Hebrews 10:7. Hebrews 10:7. For lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Now, that's a quote from Psalm 46. But who's talking? Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. To do thy will, O God. That's Jesus Christ who's talking. So, when we realize that the source of our strength and our connection to God comes through the Bible, if you want to have that fresh oil, then you got to go and get fresh meat from that book on a daily basis. And that is what makes the difference. That's where the victory comes from. And many, many times, I have seen something that I prayed for seemingly crash and burn with no chance of God working that thing out. But he does work that thing out. Because Romans 8:28 says that everything, that if you're saved, everything works out for God's glory and for your good. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And then verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You want to hear from God? You got to open that book. You want God to answer a prayer? Well, the answer to your prayer is found in that book. That's where you get the answer from. So I hope that my message is very short today. It's a simple message. But if you want that victory, if you want that answer to that prayer that you've been praying for, the Bible says that you have to commit your way to the Lord. You have to put whatever it is that's in your hands, you have to put it in his hands, and he'll give you fresh oil, and you will triumph in his works and not your works. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here today. We thank you, Lord, for the message that was preached. We thank you for your preserved word. And we just trust in you today, Lord, and ask you to work out everything for your glory, for our good. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in and for being part of our NTEB House Church Sunday service. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great Sunday afternoon, and we'll see you tonight.
will find success in dying. Have you died that you might live in Christ anew? Lord Jesus, when you came to earth to give your life for me, you faced every strong temptation, but from sin
you die.